escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. Play the audio. Talk amongst yourselves real quick.
They've got to hear this because she was asked point blank, and you'll hear Andrew Filippone, who joins us from time to time on our award-winning, renowned Around the AFC North segment. He had asked her flat out about the quarterback situation with the Cleveland Browns. Take a listen.
Who do you think has a better chance of being an NFL starting quarterback? Kenny Pickett or Shedeur Sanders? What would you say?
Kenny Pickett.
So then why keep Sanders over Pickett?
I can tell you, I don't want to insult anybody, but I can name starting quarterbacks in the current National Football League whose coaches have told me that Kenny Pickett is better than the guy that they are starting.
Okay, but why keep Sanders over Pickett then?
Because you used a draft pick on him. We've seen plenty of teams cut draft picks that they just drafted. There are plenty of questions associated with why you would draft a quarterback just two rounds after a quarterback that you very clearly liked so much, but that's what they did. And Andrew Berry is someone who has not been known to cut loose a guy that he just drafted. And so there you are. And now the development of these quarterbacks becomes yet another thing that Kevin Stefanski has to figure out and deal with amidst massive circus that surrounds anything and everything related to Shedeur Sanders.
I noted a couple things there. First thing that stood out to me was, holy cow, the quarterbacks that I imagine she's talking about starting quarterbacks at the NFL, their coaches are saying Kenny Pickett is better.
Yeah.
The other part of that is she was embedded with the Browns for their preseason coverage, which means she had unfiltered access to the coaches.
Well, if they thought he was that good, then why is he not here?
Well, not only that, but listen, Kenny, she had unfiltered access and she mentioned circus with Shedeur Sanders. And if she's saying that, what are the coaches feeling?
I think she's saying media circus. Media. She does not believe. Hold on now.
Right, but why would
media
she bring
circus?
It up?
Is
play
it
the end of it again.
Wait a minute. I think you're being ticky-tack there. Is it not
at all?
Was it not a media circus?
Well, we had
said he invited a circus.
We had said that we didn't think there was a media circus locally, but more nationally with all the public conversation.
Yeah, of course there was.
But Aditi was there with the team, and she wouldn't have brought up circus if she didn't think there was any
reason.
But I
don't think that Shedeur invites the circus.
Oh,
I don't think
no,
that's that what she was saying.
No, his situation,
okay.
I think, invited the circus.
We've
said time and time again, like, Shador's not responsible for any of that. He wasn't telling his supporters, his fans, he wasn't telling them to hit up sports talk shows in Cleveland, or he wasn't telling RG3 or Hugh Douglas or Ryan Clark to talk about a racism angle with the coaches or a sabotaging or he's being held hostage. Shador's not doing that. He wasn't responsible for that. But without a doubt, the situation did invite that. And when you have four quarterbacks in there and his fans all want to know why he's not starting, and instead a 40-year-old quarterback is starting, and then it's Dylan Gabriel, and then it was Kenny Pickett, and then it was Shador Sanders. Like, that wasn't Shador's fault. Nobody was accusing him of doing that.
No, just making sure of that. I started laughing because somebody said, "Ken Anthony, we've seen Bailey Zappi, but we have not seen Bailey Zappu."
And to that, we may get more information as we're expecting an official declaration by the team today about Bailey Zappi.
Somebody said, "Well, why are you guys mad about it?" I go, "We're not mad about that at all. I'm not mad about Bailey Zappi being on the practice squad. I'm mad that you're mad that they didn't tell us for whatever reason, just didn't come out and say about a guy they technically haven't signed yet that comes from an agent." I want to know from people what should be the plan for this year. 216-474-0092. We got Doug LaMaurice. I'll try to fit you in as fast as I possibly can here because we just opened it back up here. Because I'm frustrated because I'm confused. I'm confused about what you actually want to do. Like, you got to pick a direction, have an identity, and go. Are you trying to win football games? Okay, if you're trying to win football games, then why did you give up a guy that you think is going to be very good? Why did you give him up for a fifth-round pick? Why did you do that? If you're going to win football games, if you plan on winning football games, then why did you go ahead and you traded for two first-round picks next year?
Let me play devil's advocate.
But a lot of us know why you would trade two first-round picks, so that would fly in the face of trying to win games this year.
Okay, I do think we understand, like, in the NFL, it's not every year a meritocracy with the starting 32 quarterbacks. Not every team is starting the best quarterback they possibly can, because there are teams that are like, all right, could be a developmental year. We have a young quarterback, like the Colts. They could have gotten a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson, and I guess they did. You know, they're not starting him to start the year, but they could have. Like, last year, was Anthony Richardson the best quarterback they possibly could have gotten?
No. They played Joe Flacco, who was a better quarterback.
Yeah, but then eventually they wanted to see Anthony Richardson, right? These seasons, they want to see their young guy. So it's not always a meritocracy. Like, we know if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're going to play him even if guys are better than him.
But if you're Kenny,
you're not going to not play him. You have to see what he can do on the field and where he is and evaluate it.
But if you're that front office that has continuously said that he's good, you're also going to say Kenny's only 26, so he's a young guy too. I mean, if the guy were to actually pop, you got 14 more years that you're thinking off the top of your head, at least 13 more years that you're thinking off the top of the head, top of your head, that he could be your franchise quarterback. So,
when the Bills played Josh Allen in the first few years, he was not one of the 32 best quarterbacks at that time, and he was not a star. He was borderline. We remember how bad he looked here in Cleveland. Look at his completion percentage numbers. Like, there were guys that could have been better, but and it would have been tough to do this in Cleveland, admittedly, they were able over the long haul to stick it out, put up with the pains early on, and not make a rash decision. But in this case, like with the Browns, we're starting a 40-year-old quarterback in Joe Flacco. We brought him in a month after we brought in Kenny Pickett. Like, there was confusion from moment one what the Browns were trying to do. I had people tell me, oh, they only had Pickett here and then eventually brought in Flacco because Kirk Cousins. They thought for sure they were getting Kirk Cousins. And then when that situation went awry, they weren't able to get Cousins. They had to scramble. So maybe Cousins was...
I don't think for sure. No, I've seen a couple of reporters saying that. From what I'm told, I don't believe them. But, you know, we'll see how that goes, because eventually the dust settles, because they either work out or they get let go. You know, you're not a documentary guy. I am. You've watched more of the America's Team documentary than I have. I want to point this out. If they're able to thread this needle and become a competent, winning football team, this will be one of the greatest accomplishments you've ever seen in the NFL. Because I don't know a team that has prepared for the draft by not planning to lose games this year, and also paid veterans, kept veterans, had guys they really liked but were willing to let them go for fifth round picks, and still became good competitive football teams. Like, if they were to, like, if this works out for them, if they get two first-round picks, still find a way to keep their head above water this year, then draft a guy, like, we won't know this for a long time, then draft a guy who ends up being the franchise quarterback for them, or one of these guys become a franchise quarterback, and they execute the two first-round draft picks to get guys who are helpful to that guy, this will be one of the greatest things you've ever seen in professional sports. Because to me, that is way too many spinning plates on too many sticks to keep up in the air. Eventually, those plates are going to fall on the ground and shatter all over the place. Because I'm asking people, again, what should be the plan? What is the plan for the football team this year? What should be? What would you say should be that plan? And I'm getting a million different answers. Because everywhere you go, I throw up a stop sign going, no, wait a minute. If they do this, then they can't do that. If they do that, then they can't do this. So tell me what your plan is. Like, I know what your plan would be. I know what my plan would be. I don't know their plan.
What, just to bridge it until next year's first round where you have two picks?
Yeah, but you're in year six, so you don't have time to bridge it. And some of the moves...
You're talking about from the coaching and front office
perspective.
Some
of the moves that they have made would tell me, like when you get the second first round pick next year, you agree to the trade, that tells me you're thinking long term.
Yeah.
All right, you did what was right by the franchise. But when you go and you make some of the moves that they've made and you're bringing in some of the guys that you did, it tells me you are not.
They took two quarterbacks for only like the fifth time in recent NFL history.
So you've taken these two guys and you would say, yeah, they're in it for the long haul. All right, why do you got a 40-year-old quarterback starting? Why didn't you just keep Kenny Pickett then? If you guys thought he was so good, if you guys really thought he was great, why didn't you just hold on to him then? Because you guys don't think you have as much time as what you want us to believe. Or you guys are just hedging your bets that you have might not have as much time as you care to believe. Because that's why you start a 40-year-old quarterback. You start a 40-year-old quarterback to do what? Win football games. Or give yourself the best chance to win football games right out of the box. If you felt that good, nah, something stinks. Somebody could say whatever they want to. If you felt that good about two gloves over there, then you absolutely would have just kept them and moved on. For fifth rounders, again, you trade them for a fifth round pick that you might not even get to use next year. Great. Is quarterback not the most important position in football, let alone professional sports? Seems to me that a team that's been desperate for quarterbacks since Bernie Kosar would probably hold on to a quarterback that they thought was that good. Nah, something stinks. That's a sell job. That's a sell job. And if they did a good job and the best that they could get was a fifth-round pick, then you know what? I'll commend Andrew Berry for it. Yeah, fine. Fine. Then there is your win. If Kenny Pickett goes out there for the Las Vegas Raiders this year and it's just throwing to nobody in particular like he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers against us at home a couple years ago, then you know what? Champions pose for Andrew Berry, because you're going to get to use that draft pick, because then you're going to win enough games and you might be able to stay with the football team. And again, I hope you guys all do. I hope Kevin's still here. I hope Andrew's still here, because that would mean that these guys are starting to work out, that the young guys that they have are working out, that Mike Hall had a good 2025, that Aiden Huntington has had a good 2025 that you picked up off of undrafted free agency, which is perfectly fine to do. You still got to scout him. You still got to bring him in. That's not a knock about the draft. That's not at all. If Carson Schwessinger ends up being a decent replacement for the great JOK, who we love and we wish it wasn't like that, but if Carson Schwessinger ends up being that guy, I would love it to go that way. But the needle you're trying to thread is so small. History would tell me otherwise. And if you do it that way, my friends, you have made history. And I'd like to see another team try, because there's going to be a lot of planning and there's going to have to be a lot of luck for that all to go down. And I swear to God, on anything that you guys hold dear, this person says to me, they go, you know, if he doesn't beat Michigan again this year, I'm going to call for the guy to be fired. And a lot of other people are. And I go, I don't think that's going to happen at all. And then I thought about what Lima said. And I go, man, the national championship after beating Michigan, before it was impossible to lose to Michigan. Even though, like, if you were a number, which is ridiculous about the old way, if you were number one and they were number two, or you were number two and they were number one, if you lost to Michigan, your season was over, because it was too late in the year. It really shouldn't go that way.
Probably not.
If you're two good football teams, timing shouldn't matter. But then you went off and you won a national championship, and I go, man, if they lost to Michigan again, I think there'd be a lot of people who were sorely disappointed, but they would still probably be in the playoffs, and I don't think anybody would be calling for his ousting. And right, so because of that, has it taken some of the teeth out of that fight, out of that rivalry? The classic Buckeye fan would say, hell no, and I respect that, But if you're looking at the grand scheme of things, like, hey, if you lost to the Steelers twice and won the Super Bowl, would you give a bleep?
No.
No.
That, didn't we sweep Cincinnati when they went to the Super Bowl?
Yes, it's more professionalized in that sense than you'd ever really think. Doug LaMaurice joins us right now, the Big Apple, Ohio State Football with Bill and Doug on Substack. He joins us on the Fan Hotline. Doug, let me ask you that question. I mean, if they went out, they just won the national championship, they'd probably still be a playoff team. If they went out at the end of the season this year and somehow lost to Michigan again, like, yeah, I bet there'd be some fans who are mad in the moment, but I don't think anybody'd be seriously calling for Ryan Day's job.
Yeah, no, that whoever said that is wrong.
That was a media member, too. The media gets things wrong, you're telling me? No.
Yeah. Well, I don't, but I've heard other people do sometimes. Jim Tressel won a national championship in year two at Ohio State. Urban Meyer won it in year three. I think Woody won his first in year four. So, like, Ryan Day waiting to win the national championship, like, the greatest Ohio State coaches won a title before Ryan Day did. And when you don't have that, right? I mean, and this is my answer to everything Ohio State these days. The Michigan game is one thing, and then the national championship pursuit is another thing. And you've got to be good at one of them, right? You can't be failing at both. That's when people get really antsy. But, like, he has a ring now, and it just changes everything. It just you have this political capital that, of course, Ohio State fans demand to beat Michigan. But it's a completely different conversation than it was a year ago when he wasn't beating Michigan and hadn't won a national title. Now you have one, and it changes the whole feel of everything.
All right, Doug, I love getting your perspective on this. I don't remember when you first came to Cleveland journalism. Were you here in 2005 when Vince Young went to the Shoe?
It was the first game I ever covered as an Ohio State beat writer.
All right, perfect. So I was somewhere else, but this was the biggest game in my life. Like, it felt like the biggest game that could be a regular season game. It's not a national championship game. It was the biggest game ever. And I remember message boards were in full effect. It was Ohio State, Texas, too. You know, Cadillac brands, even though Texas had been on hard times. But, you know, Jim Tressel had it cooking. And these two teams met. There was nothing cooler than to seeing their marching band, our marching band, their colors, our uniforms, our stadium, and a night game. And it when they lost, and I remember because Ryan Hamby, I think, got death threats after that game. That was the advent of internet death threats. It was the biggest deal in the world. How big of a deal is this game coming up on Saturday at noon?
I don't think there's anybody who during the game is going to be like, oh, you know what, I don't know if this is that big of a deal, right? Like, that's the thing that I think college football hangs its hat on is while it's happening, building up to kickoff, people are going to be having an unbelievable time. But it's not going to be as punitive for the loser after the fact. Like, I'll be shocked if both these teams aren't in the playoff at the end of the year. So then what does that do to this game? I don't know. I want to watch it. I want to see them test themselves and think about, like, are these the two best teams in the country? So I think they're the most comparable. I think Texas is the best comparison for Ohio State in the country just because of what football means in the state. You're the big state university, the resources that you have. They're the biggest athletic department budgets. Like, they're as big as it gets. And so these are huge games, and, you know, that Ohio State team in 05, James Laurinaitis just said it again this preseason. I've always thought it. I think it's very possible it's the best Ohio State team that I've seen in my 21 years of doing this. And they lost to Texas and Penn State, who were number two and number three, and then they didn't get a shot, right? So it's not an end-all be-all, but I think it's as good as college football can be in the moment for 3.5 hours on Saturday.
See, Doug, that's the thing. And so many of us, like, we've watched college football for a long time. Lyme and I are very in tune with it. You know, our boss is one of the biggest he's a Heisman Trophy voter as well. So, I mean, he's one of the biggest college football guys that will be in Cleveland radio. And we spend so much time complaining about the old ways to the new ways. And I still say, yeah, but you know what? They're still going to kick off at noon. And except for bitching about the time they kick off, people are just going to tune in and they're going to want to see college football. It's like every single thing they do that we think is like, man, we hate it. They just seem to fail upwards in the sport.
The ball's good, man. The ball is good. Obviously it's changed, but to be in a world where one loss ruined your season and you had idiot pollsters trying to figure out who should play for a national championship. I think this world is so much better. And when anybody longs for the old days, I just like, was your favorite thing about college football the way one loss ruined a team's season? It's like, oh man, I loved it when my team was awesome and they lost one game and their season was ruined. And that was the thing I liked the most. It's like, really? That's what you liked the most? Didn't you like Ted Ginn Jr.? Didn't you like A.J. Hawk? Like, didn't you like all the great ball? So, and then you get the payoff at the end, like the four-game run in the playoff last year for Ohio State to get to play and beat Tennessee, Oregon, Texas, and Notre Dame. Those are like four.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Non-conference internet, you know, national matchups that it would take maybe a decade for Ohio State to play those games, and they played them in 6 weeks. So, people do love to complain about college football, and it's college football's fault because they shoot themselves in the foot constantly, and then we get to Saturdays in the fall, and it's the best thing ever.
Doug Lamorese joining us from Substack, the Ohio State football with Bill and Doug, the BGAV on Substack, joining us right now on the fan hotline. Jeremiah Smith, could he not catch a pass and still help Ohio State get past Texas, because there's a lot of new guys on that Texas defense, and they could look at number four and go, we can't let that guy beat us, but it's always going to be a deep wide receiver room.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did last year. You know, like that game last year, Jeremiah Smith would be on one side of the field, and they'd play two-on-one against him, and then they'd play four DBs on three guys on the other side of the field, and that left Carnell Tate open. It let Emeka Buka make some plays. You know, the guys last year was a first-round corner, the best corner in the country probably, who was guarding Jeremiah Smith part of that game, Jahdae Barron. Andrew Makuba as a safety was over him a lot. He was a second-round pick. So those guys are gone for Texas. They're still good in the secondary. They'll still, you know, they played a lot of zone. I think Ohio State was 0-for-2 on throws 20 yards down the field. They drew a couple pass interference calls, but there were no shots that connected, and they made Ohio State work for it. So I think they'll still try that strategy, and they still have great players. But I think also Ohio State learned some lessons, you know. But Ohio State also a couple years ago when they beat Notre Dame at the end of the game in 23, they really took away Marvin Harrison Jr. in that game. So there have been times where Ohio State says, you know, well, you can't force it to a guy, but we got to get to the ball to our playmakers. And there have been times when their best receivers have been taken away by good teams. Like, it's multiple times, but Ohio State won both those games. So I think there's a version of that that's possible again, that Smith does not have a huge game, but to your point, affects the game every play because they're putting two guys on him, and that leaves other stuff open.
At the end of this interview, can you power rank the idiot AP pollsters, and is John Wilner one of those? You don't have to answer that right now.
Oh, no. He's good. He and I were the only two who knew what we were doing when I was voting the AP poll. Everybody else is an idiot.
I love your theory on this. You, to me, have published the defining theory on how to do this and not rank it on past years. You start from scratch every year, which I think is actually ingenious. But Doug Lavery's joined us on the
hotline. How on earth can you start from scratch every single year, Doug? How can you not let last year or anything cloud your judgment at all?
I mean, you have perceptions of talent going into the season, but then once you get into the season, you don't let perceptions guide you. You go by what happens on the field, because in the end, results on the field is what determines your ballot in week 14. Why shouldn't it determine your ballot in week 2? And by the way, I don't vote anymore in the AP poll, and I'm sure people don't care about this, but like, I started doing that, whatever, 12 years ago and got a lot of attention for it. That's how the committee does it now. Like, that's what they say they do, right? And that's why people get mad when Indiana's ahead of Alabama. Because
you were ahead of your time.
I changed the face of college football, but anyway, no one cares about that.
Okay, Doug, Julian's saying you've seen a lot of new quarterbacks. It's like a new quarterback every year at Ohio State. Times have changed. How does he stack up, at least up to this point, with the hype, the buzz, what other guys of similar profile have looked at this time?
Yeah, I mean, I just keep comparing him to C.J. Stroud, right? That it's processing, quick release, accuracy, tight windows, right? Like, he can scoot a little bit if needed, but he's not a big physical guy. He's not going to kill you with his legs. So he's a throw-first dude. And the thing I just keep reminding people, and I went back and watched it this week, is C.J. Stroud, his first start on a Thursday night against Minnesota in 2021, he was like 8 of 12 for 50 yards in the first half and didn't complete a pass more than 10 yards down the field, right? Like, they were giving him easy throws. He threw behind Chris Olave for a pick in the middle of the field, and Ohio State was losing to Minnesota at halftime in C.J. Stroud's first start. He said he had jitters, right? I mean, it wasn't perfect, because when you have a guy like that, it is about precision, because you're a thrower and you're not just going to get out of the pocket and run for 30 yards on the scramble. So I think that's what saying is. So like, what did C.J. Stroud become? My gosh, he's a 2-time Heisman finalist. He's number 2 pick in the draft. That's the range of potential that we're talking about with Julian saying, but I don't think you're going to see all of that on Saturday. And I think it'll probably be a little shaky to start. And it's just, I think when you have athleticism as a QB, it can bail you out when you're starting out. And this guy's going to be ripping throws, but that takes longer to come around. By November, I think he'll be there. I'm not sure he'll be there on Saturday.
Is Arch Manning overhyped?
No. I mean, he's the number 1 quarterback recruit in the country. I mean, he's a big physical guy. I mean, you know, again, honestly, I was kind of on the bandwagon of maybe if Texas makes a quarterback switch and goes to him for the playoff run next year. Are they the defending national champions? I think it's possible. So I think he's probably overhyped and properly hyped at the same time, because, you know, if his name was Arch Mandorf, he'd still be a guy that everybody couldn't wait to see, because he was the number 1 quarterback recruit in the country, and it's a big physical guy who could run and throw. So that part of it would still be true. It's just that, you know, Peyton and Eli are good at making jokes, so then people are extra excited about it. But he's the real deal. He is.
Boy, that's interesting. It would have been a great experiment to change his name coming into college and then wearing a mustache. I think would have been very interesting.
Because that's what Eli did for he did that thing, the little skit, right? Art should have done that for his whole life. Yeah,
I know
fake name.
Yeah, you've talked about the wide receivers. The running back room for Ohio State is interesting because you just lost 2 NFL dudes, you know, 2nd round draft picks that we're hoping one of them can have a great career here, and they are loving the other one already in New England. Where do these guys stack up?
Yeah, just you got to be careful. When Quinshon Judkins transferred to Ohio State, he was maybe the best running back in the SEC when he transferred. So they got C.J. Donaldson as a transfer for this team. He was the second best running back at West Virginia. So, like, it's not the same. He's probably, you know, he's maybe a little more of a physical back and that kind of thing. But, like, the 1A, 1B thing, like, you know, Donaldson's not Judkins. And then James Peoples as the young guy, he reminds people, I think, the way he runs a little bit of J.K. Dobbins. He's 5'10", a little bit of a bowling ball thing, keeps his legs churning, breaks some tackles. But, you know, Travion Henderson, as we all saw, when you got the ball in his hands in the right situation, he's a rocket ship, man. So you have to expect for a step back in the run game. I think the offensive line is going to be good, but they're not going to be as dynamic with the ball in their hands as they were a year ago. Are they still good? Yeah. I think they'll run the ball effectively, but you just have to have like the right set of expectations.
Texas, Ohio State at noon. Are you watching LSU Clemson at 7:30 with the Browns in mind?
Yeah, I like Klubnik. I do not want Cleveland, like the Garrett Nussmeier experience. Like I can't handle all the Nuss talk, too much Nuss. I don't watch it for that. But
what's your problem with him? What's your problem with him, Doug?
It's just SEC puffery. Everybody in the SEC is just puffed up. Go look at like the three best opponents he played last year. He threw for like 170 yards a game. So it's fine. Let the SEC puff up their guys. That's what they do. Do not sit there as a Browns fan and talk yourself into Garrett Nussmeier as your franchise savior.
Do you think that Texas and Ohio State should be a little bit less sensitive, like with the Dave Portnoy stuff, with horns down?
Horns down is, yeah, I think you don't have to have a rule against a hand gesture. The Portnoy stuff, I mean, this is, whatever. I haven't spent 5 seconds thinking about it. Fox needs Ohio State more than Ohio State needs Fox. And the Big Ten needs Ohio State more than Ohio State needs the Big Ten. So I just would caution Fox to maybe get out of the business of aggravating the most important part of its TV deal. It's not like they're going to leave in the middle of it, but when that TV deal's up, if this is the relationship, I don't know where it's going to go. But like if I were Fox, I would throw Ohio State a few more bones than they've thrown them.
I love that answer, and I can't thank you enough for your time, folks. Go subscribe.
Wait, hold on. Before you get the plug, are you going to be watching the pregame on Big Noon Kickoff? Or are you going to be watching Lee Corso retiring after 38 years in the media?
Can I give you my honest answer?
Yeah,
neither.
You're not going to like it. I don't watch him. It's fine. I mean, I love college football. I analyze it all week. I am privileged to do it for my job. I don't need to watch those guys talk about it. I know what I think.
Wow. Tough talking, Doug. Wow.
It's fine. It's for the people.
Kidding.
I love it.
I'm not.
I'm an old man. I'm a grumpy old man.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You're not grumpy.
Right before kickoff, he's going to put on headgear for the final time. People are going to be crying.
It's great. I know. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I'm sure on social media, I'll see the 30-second clip. But give me Julian Sand and Arch Manning and Anthony Hill and Colin Simmons and Austin Sereveld and Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith. That's my priority.
Doug, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate you. The B-Gap, the Ohio State football with Bill and Doug. It's on Substack. Please subscribe to it right now. Lima just said something so crazy I have to tease it ahead. So, Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you, fellas.
The great Doug LaMaurice. Again, it's on Substack, the B-Gap. Go ahead, subscribe to it now. They're going to be crying?
I guarantee you there will be. I think Herbie. We'll be crying.
And that's not who I'm talking about. You think there's going to be crying?
100%.
I think you don't know the audience. You think people are going to cry during Lee Corso's thing?
Well, I absolutely do, because there have been times when I've seen some of the hype videos, because it takes me back. It's not necessarily about Corso, who, you know, he's had a rough time. His health, he's been very public about his health, but yet wanting to be on that show. And despite how, you know, rough it's been for him physically, he's found a way to be on that show. And I think eventually him and his family came together and said, okay, it's time.
If you are saying,
and I can tell you that watching some of these homages to him, it takes me right back to college watching him do that. And yes, anything that is a throwback for nostalgia's sake. I mean, Kenny, listen to this. When it comes to a potential tearjerker on Saturday,
Don't play it before noon.
It's been an incredible honor and privilege
for a funeral.
To be with you, to be your partner for all these years.
Pack the car and drive.
There'll never be another Lee Corso. Thank you for everything you've done for me, for this show, for this sport. You're one of one.
I did not put that bet under that. That's from ESPN. That is what they are putting. They will show that on the big screen wherever they're doing game day, whatever parking lot they're in game day.
Everyone's going to cry.
And everyone is going to cry.
Now, Ken doesn't allow his kids to see him cry.
You're going to make me out to be a giant bastard. Okay, Kirk Herbstreit and the crew at Fox, the crew at ESPN will cry. Crew at Fox, if they cried, I mean, that may be different. But Kirk Herbstreit will get emotional, and the crew at ESPN that's been with him for a while will be emotional. 19-year-old students walking into the stadium are not going to get emotional.
Sure. That's not, is that their audience?
That's their audience.
That's game day's audience these days?
Every time I've turned on game day, you see a bunch of 19-year-old kids who are probably lubed up, and they got the hard hats on, and
sure,
they're all lushed up.
Yeah, the students
That's what you meant the audience was. I didn't know you were talking about that.
That's
the people
not who's really
it.
Watching at home.
Oh, then we got it. The students are
out drinking.
We got our signals crossed up, because I thought you said that they were going to be people they're showing on TV and they're going to be like wiping away tears. And I go, 19-year-old drunken kids ain't going to be wiping away. Allegedly.
I don't even know.
We don't condone such practices around here.
I think they get excited when Lee Corso puts the headgear on. Yeah, sure. It's what's shown at the stadium.
If you're Lee Corso, do you go? You know where I'm going with this.
I think he's going Texas.
Do you do it where it's like a wrestler? You go out looking at the lights, brother.
Yeah. I think
you go out on your back.
I think he wants the booze. I think he wants Herbie to go, what? What are you doing? Because remember, the
he's going to put Brutus on and then rip it off.
Then rip it off.
Put Bebo on.
Right. And he'll let it marinate.
Yeah.
Because he's ever the showman. And he, the very first Brutus, the very first helmet gear was Brutus, famously, as they remind you each and every year.
Well, that was part of that clip. You didn't see it, but it's him putting it on.
The first Brutus?
Oh, yeah. The very first one.
I always loved when he put it on and then he does the kind of, you can't see his face, and he does the deadpan wave.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, bye-bye. Have a good day of college football. Talk to you next week. I always enjoyed that.
Well, he's done this. The best is West Virginia. I mean, the shooting the guns, which, of course, you cannot do.
Oklahoma, the Roughnecks.
Oklahoma, yep. Ohio State, he has picked to win, 32? Oh, he's 32-14 with Ohio State. So he has picked them a bunch of times. Texas is further down, 10-8. In his Texas selections.
I can't believe somebody has the records. That's incredible.
Oh, he's 287 correct picks, 142 incorrect picks. Winning percentage, remember, he's not doing the spread, 67%.
That's better than him as a head coach. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm just saying. He was coaching in Indiana. It's better than him as a head coach. I think it was the Tampa Bay Bandits, too, in the USFL. I'm not going to be there. We're a home game, so I could see it. I'm not going to go see it. I don't want to go out of my way to get emotional.
This one I will. You know what? I haven't watched him a lot in recent years. And I'll be honest, it's been a tough watch, unfortunately. You know, you see somebody up there in age still trying to do what he's always wanted to do and gutting it out. Quite frankly, I have no idea how he's been able to do it. But he has been up there. He's had his family up there at times. And so that's what it's going to do. It's going to be the last time, for nostalgia's sake, that it'll be a throwback to... Young me in college, where I was watching. I can tell you, I definitely was watching, and I was there. I went one time and was like, probably never
there
again. But it was cool one time to go see it.
Man, we used to get done. It was the best. You'd have football on Friday night, and then you'd go in and watch film, and he would have you go in and watch film at like 7 a.m. because he didn't want you assing off on Friday night. So you were in film and getting in the pool because Perry had a pool. Still do. Congratulations on all our success. You get in the pool. Even if you... those three plays that went out there on field goal really took it out of me. I got to go get my work in. But then we'd like me, my buddy Jake, my buddy Ronnie, Beaver, like a lot of... We were like, well, we're going to go over to Jake's house. We're going to watch... there was always like that perfect Saturday where it was like overcast. And it was just like, you're going to get your Saturday started. This is going to end. It's going to end at 3 a.m. on Sunday night. I don't condone such practices. It's going to end on 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, I should say. I don't know at whose house I'm going to be at, but it starts at Saturday at 10:30, watching the end of college game day with my buddies and then watching college football until it's time to go out or go to a party. And it was always a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And ever since I started doing this, and in my college, there was a little bit of it. But once you started doing like radio and started working games and stuff like that, I was driving. So I have not seen the show regularly, except for like tuning in here and there, or when I was doing the Saturday CBS show. Like, I didn't see it really for the last 20-something years now, or even for the most part for the last 18, 19 years now. But it is a tradition. I checked out Big Noon Kickoff when that first came out. I've enjoyed Big Noon Kickoff. If I'm picking two, I'm picking Big Noon Kickoff. But it is a tradition. And he was very entertaining by it. And he was entertaining by it for a long time. I just don't want to tune in because I don't want to feel sad. I always feel sad for those things, and I don't want to feel sad.
Well, it's definitely an era-ending moment.
Yeah.
And you get these sometimes in life, whatever
that's
it
the
is.
Second I thought. When they brought Pat McAfee out, that's the first thing I thought. I go, oh, he's the new Lee Corso.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm just trying to think. When I was young, Cheers, that final episode of Cheers. That was always one I'll remember. Roseanne, the final episode. Like, you have these times where you're like, that's it. Things have changed forever. And I think this is one of those moments in TV.
Trying to remember the final episode of Roseanne, because didn't the final season got off the rails?
The season was
because she thought that Dan had actually died.
Dan was gone.
He put a hole in the wall, and it got really emotional.
I was on the campus of Oklahoma State in a dorm watching Final Seinfeld.
I got a controversial take. I actually like the final episode of Seinfeld. The ending and how it ended.
Yeah,
yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was a nice way. I thought it was cute. the only time I'll use that word in my life.
Big thanks to Bailey Zappi official.
Yeah, Bailey Zappi's official.
Super Bowl!
No, shut up. No. Not participating.
You've been zapping.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.